So would you all identify yourself, please, from stage left?
I am Nick, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Mark, I sing and play guitar.
I'm Derek White, I play bass and sing falsetto.
I'm Josh, I play drums.
We are in the Takeover UK.
Now, is it the Takeover UK or Takeover UK?
It's the Takeover UK.
Because, you know, we need to get this right from the start.
All right, me and Nick were in a band, and Mark was going to school in Boston, and we started sending demos back and forth, and he didn't really want to come back to Pittsburgh, but he's like, you know, I really want to start a band with you guys. And basically, he came home. The first day he was home from college, we had our first practice.
Yeah, I came back to Pittsburgh, and we started the band, and we started with the intention of, you know, just finally playing music that we always wanted to write and play instead of catering to any scene or audience. You know, we just said, forget it, we're just going to play the music that we love. And yeah, we started touring 6 months after being a band. Our friend's band took us on the road. We went out, got our feet wet, you know, played everywhere around the country. And then we just started, like, hustling, trying to, like, find people that would help us, you know, to help us get a record deal, you know. We put out an EP by ourselves, and, you know, we did it the independent route. And then we played New York for 6 months, playing twice a month, just playing for different record labels and, you know, and finally, we got a manager that helped us find Ryko Disc, and Ryko Disc signed us, and that's when the real work started.
And ever since then, we've just been struggling to put records out and tour, and there's all kinds of ridiculous scenarios that we've gotten ourselves into. Our record was held hostage, believe it or not, at one point because there wasn't enough money floating around, and you know, there's just always some kind of shenanigans that is surrounding everything we do, and here we are today.
The band that you were in prior to this, what, because you I heard something saying being, you know, breaking through from being forced to be in genres. So what was the precursor to this band? What was being played in it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it was definitely different from what we're doing now, but it was knocking on that door. I think, you know, me and Nick were just kind of, I guess, like garage blues, like punk band. But I think mainly what Mark was referring to was, like, when he lived in Boston, no one wanted to be, like, in a, you know, straight up the middle, like, you know, pop, like, rock and roll band. Like, everyone was, you know, wanted to do...
It was either hard rock or punk.
No one wanted to play 4/4 time. I was in Boston, and I was playing, trying to find all these kids, and they all went to Berkeley, and, like, they all wanted to play, like, Rush 7/4, and they were like, I like your songs, but I just, you know, I don't want to play 4/4.
I lived in Boston from 1979 to 1986, which actually was a good time. You would have fit in during that moment in time and what WBCN was playing. Now, we've got to hit the band name. So when you were looking, because... You know, there's, it's very, now it's interesting because you obviously, when you added, you know, I mean, this is not a band from the UK. Last I knew, this is a band from Pittsburgh, you know, by way of Boston, by way of whatever, but you purposefully added the UK, you know, and admittedly just calling yourself The Takeover, you know, so did you do it for balance or did you do it with purpose?
We did it because The Takeover was taken.
The Takeover, but that's a good name too. We call the band The Takeover Was Taken.
A little too long.
This is our new song, it's... The Takeover. Yeah, I know. The Takeover Was, go to thetakeoverwastaken.com. Learn more. MySpace/thetakeoverwastaken.com. Learn more about our band.
Yeah,
let's do that.
It's a few syllables short of And They'll Know Us.
Okay,
by the trail
but you didn't, but you didn't intend it to be The Takeover Uck.
No, certainly not.
It stands for Uncle Cracker, you know, Kid Rock's protege, songwriter.
Okay, my leg cannot be pulled quite that far.
He's one of the great songers of our time.
Oh, really?
My leg can be pulled, but not, no. I'm not going there.
No, really, it was just kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, and it was an homage, like, to, you know, the bands that had to do
it. I like the way it sounded, honestly. Like, I'm not even thinking, like, oh, people might think we're from the UK. Like, I think it just
sounded. So no purpose in going down the Brit pop road?
Not that we're certainly fans of Britpop. I mean, some of our favorite bands of all time are British, but we're not trying to pretend to be British. Yeah. That's the mistake that a lot
it's
of people
just a
make.
Band name.
Yeah, I think we're an extension of the whole canon of pop music, you know, just from the Tin Pan Alley till today, like, you know.
So when you sat down to write songs as a group for the first time, did you did you say, oh, we're going to write a lot of songs about love? Or did you say, we're going to write, or, you know, we're going to write about life? Because, again, when you're writing pop songs don't usually, and when I'm talking pop songs, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand didn't necessarily reflect the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
You know, so tell me about your process in thinking about that, or did you just write songs?
Well, I mean, I think we wanted to go with the old maxim of, like, you know, write what you know, write how you, what our lives are at the moment, and that's what we did. And I didn't want to, like, on the record, there's not that many love songs. Like, our songs aren't your typical, like, unrequited love, like...
all, except for the one that we're playing today on the radio show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, but we're not writing like the standard like fare for pop music. We wanted to be a little quirky and write songs about stuff that people don't usually write about.
And did you go out of your way, being that these are pop songs, to say, okay, we know a few of these will be good singles?
We try to write every song like a single.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an art form to us, you know, like the 3.5 minute, 3 minute pop song is an art form. Absolutely. It's really hard to write a really good one with no fat that doesn't bore you and just gets to the punchline and then leaves you like, I want to hear that again.
So you found a good manager. And is that what put you into the next phase?
No. I mean, it certainly helped, but we put ourselves in the next phase. If we didn't want to be out here hustling and, you know, sleeping on floors, none of it would have happened. It's not like,
yeah,
I mean, we're still not in the position where we would eventually want to be. I mean, who is? But we're still sleeping on floors every night, staying in dirty motels. You know, we are lucky if we get paid at the end of the night most nights. We're surprised when we get paid most nights, you
the
know?
Glamour of rock and roll.
Yeah, it's not what, you know, it's not what most people think it is. And you kind of think, like, whenever you get a record deal that it's going to change your life, like, you're going to have health insurance all of a sudden. It's just not like that.
You know, you mean you don't get a 401k plan from the label?
No.
I'm amazed.
Children of America, you do not, you know, it just doesn't change your life. There's no...
some people's do, just not ours.
Okay, yeah, but, I guess so.
Okay, so let's skip a little bit, though, because, you know, and again, when did the single come out? How many months ago? 3 months ago? 2 months ago?
Probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah. So this is all very new.
Certainly,
You know, which is good news, I suppose. And I saw that you've got at least the month of April, you will be traveling 5,942,000 miles.
Yes.
You know, to get
this out there.
At least
the month of April. We've been on the road since the middle of February, actually, and we won't leave the road until May 11th.
Right.
So.
Now, the album has been out for how long?
A week.
Yeah. A week, exactly. So tell me a little bit about what have you coordinated? Is there a plan in place? You know, record company gets me record, there it is. You know, have you guys picked your singles? Have you sat down with the record company as your manager worked with them? You know, let's try to get on the positive track for a second, if it's possible, that is.
I don't know. It might veer towards the negative.
I think we know what we want to do. We put out the first single, A La La, and I think we know we're going to have our second single be the title track, Running With The Wasters. It seems to be more of like a very song that everyone seems to like, really. We get a lot of positive feedback, but really there's probably... like 8 or 9 singles on a record, like really songs that could be, I think we wrote them to be, you know. So we have a pretty good plan as far as we think, but every plan we have always turns, you know.
Give me an example of, I mean, we have to go down, if we're going to go down the road, we might as well go down the road. So give me an example of what you describe as a plan that has been, you know, been, because I can't tell you that I've had, I don't know, I think a dozen bands in the past 6 months that the story was exactly the same, only I want to hear your version of it because it sounds even more interesting, that they were, their A&R guy left their label and their master was still there with the label and they couldn't wrestle it back.
Okay. Well, let's hope that our producer isn't listening.
Oh, yeah, we better talk about the producer. That's right.
We're very friendly with our producer-engineer guy.
How did you choose your producer-engineer guy?
We didn't really.
Yeah, he was the closest guy to our manager's apartment. He was the closest studio
yeah,
to our manager.
Ridiculous. I didn't know that until, like, after we did
hello,
the record.
Hello, excuse me. Are you a producer? No. I'm not selling you magazines. We need a record.
So we went in originally just to do demos with him. We liked the sound. We liked the way he, you know, took our music and made it like the, you know, the way it sounded live. There wasn't any producing that went on, by the way. There was no pre-production that happened. Yeah. We did all the pre-production in my parents' basement. Yeah. You know, we were the ones that made all the arrangements, all the vocal harmonies, everything, even the string arrangements. Me and Mark wrote all of those. So basically what it came down to was this record became a monster, and he felt like he didn't get enough money. And we had agreed on a fee to begin with.
The record became a monster in that everybody thought it was a great record.
Everybody thought it was a great record, but what I mean by it became a monster was it ended up taking much more time than we thought it was. Yeah. Even though at the end of the day, we really probably only spent 3 weeks total in the studio, but there was a lot of, you know,
it was dragged out.
Yeah,
it became down to like lawyers. He's like, talk to my lawyer.
Basically,
the producer.
Yeah, this guy that was our friend that we had a bond with.
But talk to my lawyer, because you didn't accept his mixes?
We had a handshake deal. We just had a hand, because we'd worked with him before. Before we got a record deal, we made demos together.
Yeah, we agreed that the album would get done for $15,000 flat fee. Well, he ended up spending all kinds of time of his own doing edits and comps.
We didn't ask for.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't sound a whole lot different to us. But he felt that he deserved more money than our handshake agreement, originally was for. So we couldn't get our masters until he got what he felt was fair.
And now this was pre-label?
No.
This is like
right after. Who hired him? Did you hire him, or did the label hire him?
We hired him.
We hired him first before we had a record deal. We made a 5-song demo, and that's how we got a record deal from those songs.
And then you went to make the record.
And then we went to make
it. Put it this way, the album was mixed in October of 2007, and it just came out last week.
Yeah.
So we're loving the songs we're playing every night.
Yeah, we wrote all these songs 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So you're already on your 6th album is what you're telling me.
Oh, my God, Absolutely. Literally. Prolific. Like, we have a catalog that it is just, you know, things that don't even sound like what we're playing right now.
Yeah.
And our album just came out like a week and a half ago.
But what's most interesting to me is that the reviews are starting to come in, and I did a little scan, and everybody is saying the same thing. It's almost, and so I want to hear how you're going to combat what I'm about to tell you. Do you know what everybody says?
Yeah.
The people are comparing to the Strokes.
Lord, help us.
A decent amount. Yeah, I mean, I like the Strokes, but we sound nothing like them.
You know what?
It's such a weird name.
That it is kind of mildly encapsulating as far as what we do. But
there's all kinds
whenever
of
I think about punk, I think of like NoFX or something like that. And we certainly don't sound like that.
Oh man, I got a heart murmur just thinking about that. That may be kind of sad.
Maybe we should.
What's my name again? It's like.
Maybe we should call it punk pop. I don't know. Yeah, it's certainly like more on the Buzzcock side of things, I suppose.
But it's all over the place, really.
Yeah, we're happy to you know, take on that that description if need be. We're all huge fans of punk music. We grew up playing in punk bands in Pittsburgh. That's how we all know each other, in fact.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Sure.
And what the musical sandwich is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by any other band in between.
Yeah, all right. Switch it up, man. All right, let's do Running with the Wasters and Sleep It All Away.